The situation with the U.S. men's national team right now, it's not great. Christian and I are going to give you that grade in the first segment. We also go over our projected 25-man roster for the World Cup, plus who we think will be the starting 11 each World Cup. There's some wild picks in there.
Exactly. And we talk about the Gold Cup. We preview that. And some of the other countries that have an opportunity to win this whole thing. Also, Christian Pulisic in the news again.
Uh-oh.
Responding to Landon Donovan's comments. We talk all about it today on The Cooligans. Congratulations to the Polancos. It is my wife and I's 3-year anniversary today. You were at the wedding.
I can confirm. I was there. He is not a virgin anymore. He's got a kid now.
It took a while. The kid is kind of confirmation, yeah. But we gotta do a maternity test, right? I think. But congratulations to me for not getting thrown out of the house in 3 years.
Buddy,
I've been pretty good.
I mean, 3 years isn't really. You're not really in the getting thrown out of the house range yet. If you did it by now, I would have been like, wow.
Wow, yes. Record time. You've been married how long? How many years?
Oh, long time.
Oh, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there.
Yeah. For a very long time.
Okay.
It's in the teens.
All right.
Let's just say my marriage could legally drive.
It's good to know. But yes, it's interesting because we got married and then we found out we were pregnant pretty soon after.
Yeah.
So they're really... hasn't been this experience of just being married without being parents, right?
I mean, this is literally my entire marriage.
Yeah.
Don't plan on having kids. But that's the fun part, man. immediately threw stressful situation in.
So, I don't know. It's like, I mean, we were together a long time without being married.
So are we.
So, it doesn't... I don't know what exactly would have happened had we not gotten pregnant that soon. Would the marriage would have flourished in a different way? I don't know. It was still fun.
You ever see those like memes of like, you know, cars flying and like the futuristic Jetsons like world?
Yes, yes.
It's like us if we would have never, you know, paid for that extra cocktail.
Exactly. Like a butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a, it did take the, as soon as you get married, it's like, all right. I'm a husband now.
Things are
gonna be different. Okay?
It does feel a little different when you get married. I try to say this to people who are like soon to get married. I'm like, something extra. You have to do things for the marriage where you didn't do things for the couple. You did it. You would do stuff for your lady or your man, your guy, whoever you're with.
Yeah.
But you would never be like, I got to do this for the marriage. Sure, now you
like,
have to.
Like something bigger than us.
Yeah.
So it adds this air of responsibility. Immediately.
I hate it. Oh my God. I try to run again, no kids. I try to run from responsibility at all costs.
And that's the thing. And then as soon as you introduce children into the marriage,
yeah,
then,
very large responsibility.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll say this. Like being a husband and a father is like as far as things to be proud of accomplishments. You know, we all look at other things in our lives, but there is something, and it's not a thing that's saying like these are important things that you need to do, but it is a like, oh wow, like it puts into perspective the other accomplishments because they don't feel the, you know, everything, every other accomplishment has like a specific purpose of like making money, moving up in your career and stuff like that. And then this doesn't include that. It's not about making money and it's not about like what other people think.
Right.
And it's, I mean, unless it's like family that is pressuring you to get married, to have kids, but
my whole life
outside of that, it's like, it's very fulfilling in a much different way, which, that has been the coolest part about being married.
Shouts
and also
to you.
Being a dad.
Shouts to you. Shouts to Helene. Shouts to Mateo. What a beautiful family.
Yeah, what a lovely...
You know, if Mateo loved you guys, he would have been there for all 3 years. That's all I'm just going to say. I've been here for all 3 years.
What's his deal? Yeah. I mean, some people are really about it. And some people are not.
I mean, I just want you to know my loyalty and my commitment is there.
So welcome to the pod, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are the Cooligans. As always,
we're on...
Never gets old.
Nah,
I'm almost sure Yahoo has retired that sound.
Yeah, we
when we asked them.
We asked, you got to bring it back for us.
You got to bring it back for us. And there was a, in the Slack, I'm like, I think they're not happy we asked. But they're yeah. like, they're new here. We got
to
give them what they
want. They were also like, are we sure we want to give it to them? And then I was like,
they're
still not sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They regret it.
I would love to speed that up like 2x speed so it doesn't take as long.
Okay. Carter, in post.
Fix it in post. Okay. Speed up everything I'm saying right now.
Well, you can do it on like, you know, your podcast player. You can hit it in 2x. So everybody,
someone told me they once said that they listened to us in 2x. I said, how's that even legible, bro? I'm on that show.
right.
I talk in 1.5 at least.
So today's a special day because we are going to focus on the 2026 World Cup. We are 364 days till
yesterday was the 100, the full year pre-anniversary.
Well, just so the countdown begins.
Yeah, yeah. 1 year till whatever. I don't know. What's the prequel for?
Last June 12th was my pre-wedding anniversary for my third wedding anniversary. So we obviously have to celebrate the anniversary and the pre-wedding anniversary.
Your wedding anniversary is going to be on the first day of the World Cup?
It's going to be on the second day of the World Cup.
Damn. So mine is in the middle as well. Mine comes in a week.
Okay.
So we're both missing our anniversary next year. Okay.
Just get our ladies ready for really this appointment.
Really sorry, honey. But she's known this for a while.
Yeah,
just so you know, 2026.
They know we married to the game.
Yeah, son. I'm cheating on it with you and it's not Gumad Day, you know? I can't.
I'll be honest. FIFA kind of mad at you.
Yeah, bro. So. You get into involved in our marriage.
So so it's a year out. And shout out to, we were at a great event yesterday on location.
Me and you at a wine tasting.
At a wine tasting. It's one of those things of like, why? There must be an error if you're inviting the Koolians or something like this.
But then we saw the other people they invited. And they're like, all right, this was the bottom feeder event.
There were a couple people that were like, all right, okay, I understand why I'm here. But the majority
of people showed up with dirty sneakers. And that is not as bad as us.
Exactly. We're at least above that.
Yeah, we showed up with clean sneakers.
But it's 1 year till the World Cup. So we're going to focus today's episode on the U.S. men's national team and a couple other things. U.S. men's national team. We'll look at the World Cup as a whole. And we'll talk about some Club World Cup and the Gold Cup. So there's a lot going on this summer in preparation for what is going to be 2026. So this is so let's get right into it.
So was that four losses now in a row? And we have only a year left before the World Cup starts. So let's see where this team stands on the way to the World Cup. And that's why it's our top topic.
That's right. So especially the game against Switzerland. And this is where the beginning of this conversation starts. Because we expected it to be better than the game against Turkey, right? And it was worse. It was not better at all. So let's get right into it. As far as this situation, how bad is it? On a scale of 1 to 10, we'll give our thoughts. But how
10 being the worst?
Yes,
this is absolute horrific. Everybody gets sacked.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got to get fired. 1 being like, yo, we're right where we want them, bro.
We're playing possum.
This is it, bro. This is going to plan. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to have to say, again, 10 being the worst, this is starting to, I wanted to say 6, but this is starting to feel like an 8. So I'm going to meet in the middle and say 7.
Yeah.
Maybe even 7.5.
I'm going to say 8. I'm going to say it's worse.
Okay. I thought you were going to go soft.
No, never, bro. 3 years of marriage.
Yeah. This kid still got it. Okay. Without a pill, bro.
We got one of those sponsors, Carter. Hey,
yo.
We need to get one.
Yo, let's go with Red Chew, whatever the other one is, bro.
So, no, because I think we're at a point where the four losses, sure, are not ideal. But if it was, to be honest, if it was 4 losses, but still the same roster and still the A squad, I would be like, okay, maybe Pochettino's trying stuff out. But the fact that the roster in itself is a little bit all over the place, there's a bunch of names that we're getting first-time call-ups, which I appreciate and I love to see that, but it doesn't necessarily instill a ton of confidence in the stability of the national team. Arguably, Pochettino's introduction to the national team has brought a little bit more instability. And that's partly, look, the Club World Cup, and he's not able to access. You know, he's not, he doesn't have the players that he probably would want to have there. The situation with Christian Pulisic, who is taking a break to rest and recover, stuff like that. But where we were from Berhalter to where we are now with Pochettino, it's not better. I think that's pretty objectively true. I'm generally
you could make the argument that we've taken a step back, and maybe it's temporary. I'm assuming it's temporary.
I'm assuming that too.
And I'm fine with saying, all right, I'm new to the system. I'm new to the players in this country. I'm new to the entire roster and the capabilities. So I'm going to have to take some big swings and some big chances on some players that maybe don't have the chemistry. And I'm going to have to watch it in friendlies that feel a bit more meaningful because of the lack of time available. Right?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with all of that. What I'm not comfortable with is the way it's being played out on the pitch. For me, it just feels like, best case scenario with this Gold Cup roster, best case scenario was our A squad balls out in Gold Cup and uses this last competitive tournament to say, like, yo, we're heading into the World Cup with a lot of confidence. Because look at how, even if you didn't win, but you balled out and you did your best, and maybe it was a free kick or something that you lost on. And I know I've said that before, but that's like the feeling I have. Like, there's a positive you could take from it. What we've seen is a group of players where maybe you could pick out one or two instances where you're like, oh, okay, maybe this dude got something, right? The Jack McGlynn goal stands out. Mm-hmm. Maybe, all right, that's something we could say, like, all right, maybe there's a chance for you in the World Cup roster. But what I haven't seen was this young core of players that are playing spirited, that are taking big chances, that are playing brave. I don't see a coach giving them the tactics or the ability to do that, where I walk away saying, like, yo, that A squad that ain't here, whether for a good reason or not, has got some pressure on their back right now.
Yeah.
They've got to really ball out to keep their stuff. No one's written in pen. Everyone's written in pencil. This thing could be anybody. That competition that you seemingly see in every other mature footballing nation, how is it that when we look at what happened in 2018 and we saw this young group of players, they did that. They put pressure on the old guys to say, like, you know what? Y'all didn't do good enough. Y'all didn't get us to the World Cup. We gonna take over. And they pushed. How is there not another group behind? And that's the part that's like so saddening, is that a lot of people don't even believe our A squad is that good. And maybe I still look at it with like rose-colored glasses from the past and say, man, but they balled down. They were young and they're maturing and they're getting even better and they're playing for big clubs. And they're going to be so much better than the early 2000s squad that everybody talks about. They got to the quarterfinals. They're already better than them. And I still have that vision. I still have that belief. And now I'm looking, I'm like, bro, they're maybe not as great as we thought they would be. And now behind them ain't really anybody saying, like, yo, everybody out of my way. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, I mean, the closest person I think that is doing that, that is like making a case for themselves, probably Diego Luna.
Diego Luna that and Jack, like, McGlynn in instances,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, it's just, but the, just the, it's not even like, we spoke about this in the last episode, but just like the quality from that A squad to this squad, it, I think is.
Also, Malik Tillman looks the part now. To me, that's a guy. Sure. That's a guy who will be knocking on the door of a starting spot in the World Cup. I don't know if he gets to it, but will be knocking on the door of that because he has risen up a level. So I want to make sure I give him credit. Sure. Not to say that we haven't seen any, and you're right, Diego Luna. But
yeah, I just think that the situation that with hosting the World Cup, and that's a big difference from those early 2000s USMNT rosters to now, is that we are already, we're in the World Cup, we're hosting it. I mean, maybe this is like a hot take. I think if we had to qualify for the World Cup, I think we might miss it.
Yeah.
Based on what
is a 48 team World Cup. So maybe not.
Maybe not, but
you're right. It wouldn't be easy.
It wouldn't be easy. Yeah. Right. And again, any match in the last like year hasn't necessarily been easy, but there should have been a little bit like, you know, a better result. So I think there's
look at
a cost.
Canada. Canada. They're playing above their pay grade.
Yeah.
And the U.S. are not. You know, right now you could.
Panama
is as well. Mm-hmm. But you can make the argument that Canada right now stands atop the CONCACAF.
Yeah.
You can make that argument. And that's with a coach who the U.S. didn't want to hire. And they went out and got a coach with a much longer resume.
Yeah.
A much greater resume, for sure. It hasn't worked out. yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, after the game against Switzerland, Pochettino had a bunch of statements. Like he blamed himself. Accepted responsibility.
He said he was trying to give guys minutes. Maybe he didn't pick the right 11s.
And it's like, yes, I understand. Like, I appreciate the candor. I appreciate the accountability.
It's the right thing to say, for sure.
But these results can't be like, it's, there's not, we only have the Gold Cup as far as like real competitive matches. The friendlies are to see sort of where we stack up to the rest of the world. And maybe he's tinkering a little too much. And again, trying to give guys minutes and all this other stuff. And maybe there is something to be said about being a little bit meaner about like those precious minutes and who you give them to and who you feel really deserves them, and not just be like, oh, yo, yeah, it's a friendly. Let's see what we got here. Let's mix it. It's like, because
we don't have time. If this was 2 years ago, I'd be like, get out there, bro.
You take the risk of hurting your own reputation and the team's reputation as well.
And
so,
the confidence.
And it puts a lot of pressure. It was weird watching the post-game interviews with all the players. That I saw they did one with Tim Ream. They did one, yeah, I think, with
Walker
Max.
Zimmerman.
Walker Zimmerman.
Yeah.
And there's a fireworks show happening behind them, celebrating going into the Gold Cup and all this stuff, like this amazing send off, and you got smacked 4-0. Look, credit to them. Second half was better than the first.
Congrats. But the first was a 4-0 drubbing.
Clean sheet in the second, though.
Yeah. So we gotta, for both teams. So, they got scored on every 10 minutes. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. What was, we had a stat. I forgot where the stat was. Of this, it's the first time that the U.S. has given up four goals.
Since 1980 against Mexico.
So, I thought it was
first time ever at home.
First time ever at home. So it's really, I mean, it's an embarrassing loss. And obviously something like that shouldn't happen. It was in Nashville. Walker Zimmerman is at his team's stadium. And it's like to go out and get smacked in that way, where it wasn't even the frustrating part was like the, you know, Matt Turner had, you know, we were debating this, like how at fault was Matt Turner for that third goal, I believe. In my mind, it's like, it's not 100%, but it's fairly high.
A significant amount.
Yeah, he could have done better. I just thought like the defending there was, I think credit to Switzerland, like even in I forgot who took the shot, but it was like, I didn't necessarily think he was going to shoot. Like
it was a fairly speculative shot. Yeah.
So, that's the, to have that before, not even just before going into Gold Cup, but just a year out. Going into the World
Cup. It's
like
you and your girl having an argument on your way to your anniversary dinner. You know? It's like, we're not really setting a precedent. You know? Like, you walk in angry and the maitre d' is like, a bottle of champagne.
Right. It's a little hard to put a smile on your face during the dinner.
Yeah.
So we decided to talk about this World Cup roster and decide what 25 players.
We got our 25 man roster.
So if you follow us on Instagram, you'll have seen that we put our entire roster, but you can see it there. I mean, let's just really focus on, and nothing's necessarily a huge surprise for a lot of the names, just a couple of things. So with goalkeepers, we have some differences here. You have Matt Turner, Zach Steffen, and Matt Fries. I have Matt Turner, Patrick Schulte, and Matt Fries. So Zach Steffen, what's your case for Zach Steffen?
Experience. So my argument for this was simply, let's bring in people that are playing. I'm going under the impression that Matt Turner will get a move this summer. Right now, it's looking like it could possibly be Lyon. If that's the case, I'm expecting Matt Turner to start. With more consistent minutes, I think we'll see the Matt Turner of old. And if that's the case, I think he is your number one starter. And I think also, just for me, Zach Steffen brings another bit of experience, someone who has played at the highest level. And I think he's going to offer a little bit of calm. And Matt Fries is your potentially gets to that spot, maybe in case of an injury or something, starts a game or two.
I would just say for me, form, that's kind of what I'm, I think there's enough experience, and the form of Schulte is, I like it a little bit better than Steffen, but I don't think it's like,
I can't argue that,
That far ahead. Yeah. All right. Defenders, The difference is here. I have Cameron Carter-Vickers. You have Alex Freeman.
I do have Alex Freeman.
So that's one where I've been seeing the comments even in the we posted our roster.
Yeah, go on. People said he doesn't even belong watching the game.
Yeah, Alex Freeman. Which I World Cup. Gold Cup, I can. I'm a little bit like, all right, let's give him a chance to see. Yeah. You know, he's been balling out for Orlando. World Cup, I don't think he's ready for that yet. But Cameron Carter-Vickers, for me, provides a good form. He's playing at Celtic,
yeah,
and you know, has to defend a lot, especially when he's playing in European competitions. So that's my case for him. But I don't
dislike the CCV pick, because part of me just believes like his time with the U.S. national team seems to be done. He doesn't get called in that much. When he has, he's made a few mistakes. So for me, I went with versatility, right? So we both have Austin Trusty. Austin Trusty is one of those players that, like, in a pinch could play defensive midfielder, could play left back. You know, in a pinch, yeah. You know, if really versatile, really good in the air now. I mean, he's really changed his game. Mark McKenzie as well. And that's why I picked Alex Freeman. He seems to me like with another year, knowing that there's a potential future on the men's national team, he's athletically and physically a freak. He's one of those people that I feel like if he just solidified his game a little more and got some of the basics just a bit more solid where you can depend on him, you can really almost play him anywhere on that back line. Sure. I don't think he gets a lot of burn, but he's one of those guys, if a center back goes down, a right back goes down, a left back goes down, a defensive midfielder goes down, you'll throw this guy in and he can do the job for like 20 minutes.
Sure. The only other difference also, you have Christopher Lund, I have Max Arfston, which I think... Right. Not much necessary conversation. It's like they're both backups, and that's just...
They also both play the same thing, which is run forward and bomb.
Right.
I picked Lund because he has more experience playing with those guys, and also speed demon down the left
side. Okay. Midfielders. The differences, we have a couple differences here.
Yeah.
All right, so you have...
I threw in Aiden Morris.
Yeah, you have Aiden Morris in there. I do not have Aiden Morris as a midfielder, so I just...
You picked an extra attacker.
I believe so. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I can. The only negative about Aiden Morris is just like he dealt with a lot of injury last season. Again, anything can happen in this season. He will be in the championship with Middlesbrough. It's not crazy that he could make it. I just think it's not super likely, but I can understand that. I can understand making the case for him.
He is a bit of a long shot, a bit, not much. Again, I think one MLS Cup, was one of the best midfielders at Columbus, certainly in MLS. Deserved the move to Middlesbrough, but also under the tutelage of a Michael Carrick, I think has become a better midfielder. Where he fits, him and Tanner Tessman kind of feel similar to me in the sense that like you're both incredibly good at what you do, but don't have the versatility that I think a Pochettino may be looking for in the midfield.
Yeah.
Like you get with a Yunus Musso, you can play in multiple positions, even though maybe he doesn't have a solidified position where Aiden Morris and Tanner Tessman do. But I think when it comes to a World Cup, you need some of those guys. You need some of those guys that you can say, like, I'm going to plug you in, and I know exactly what you're going to do here versus you're going to be an 8 out of 10 in three positions. I need you to be a 9 out of 10 in this one position.
Yeah.
To me, Aiden Morris is that guy. So, again, I might be wrong, but I feel like he's the type of player I want to see in the World Cup roster because I know what I'm getting out of you.
That is fair. Okay, attackers, we have a lot of differences here. Okay, so we could just go through all of them, right? So
one of them completely shocked me you didn't pick.
That's fair. Balogun, I have Balogun, Pepe, Pulisic, Weah, Haji Wright, Brendan Aaronson, and Paxton Aaronson.
Okay, so you're getting the whole Aaronson family. Let's get a trip to the World Cup.
Mr. and Mrs. Aaronson are also on the squad.
I also have Balogun, I also have Pepe, I also have Pulisic, I also have Weah. I don't have Haji Wright or either of the Aaronsons. I pick Patrick Adjumunk because, again, with another year, I think now that he's sort of felt that U.S. men's national team, you know, he's touched it.
And it seems like Pochettino likes him.
Yeah. He does offer something that not many other do, which I think he offers a better version of Haji Wright with, in a way, like in a year, maybe he's already better. But I picked your countryman, the Dominican Republic Wonder Youth, Kevin Paredes, and you did not.
I mean, is that a wild shock? But I mean, it's not out of because I don't believe in him for the World Cup.
De lo tuyo, bro. This is your guy
for the World Cup. It's not anything to do with his play. You know, himself. I think it's again injury. He's had a really, really long He was not playing for Wolfsburg for, I mean, it was 8-9 months. It was just such a long,
nearly a year,
injury. And he just has terrible luck with this stuff. And I just think he hasn't gotten a injury-free season to really be who he, like, to reach that potential. And I just hope he, like, takes care of himself. He was at the Olympics. I thought he was our best player. I thought
incredible.
He was and showed a lot of leadership at the Olympics. So he is, I love that he got that experience. So I would say if he has an injury-free season, I don't think he is going to be an attacker and a forward.
I think I originally put him in my midfielders, but I'm thinking of him as a winger.
Yeah, I think he'll be a wing back. He'll be a fullback. He could play left back very easily.
I can see that.
So I do think he's more effective as a right winger. But I would if I was putting together a World Cup squad and he has a good year, I would put him as like a backup left back. So yeah.
I would prefer to see him left wing like as a forward left wing, because I think him driving at defenders is what he does incredibly well, and I want to see more of that. But again, using his speed up and down those wings, especially if we go three at the back with an Austin Trusty on the left hand side, bro, him as a wing back, crazy.
All right, well, Pochettino's not going to do that.
He's not going to do anything I just said.
But
again, if it were me, maybe arguably a better choice than Pochettino.
So Patrick Adjumang, I think if Ricardo Pepi is, at full fitness and healthy, I don't think Patrick Adjumang is on a World Cup roster. And that's just, I just think Pepi is better and has a similar type of profile.
I could see that.
So
I think Ricardo Pepi is the starter come World
Sure.
Cup.
And then, which is interesting, some people, I think Balogun, but and then for the Paxton Aronson, again, he had a fantastic season, best season of his career at FC Utrecht, and looked reaching a new level of confidence.
If he gets on the Eintracht roster fully and starts, I'm with you.
Sure. Okay. So that is our 25. Put them up on the screen again, just so people get another reminder. But let's move on to our 11s. Who do we think should start at the World Cup in 2026?
Let's take a look at your 11. Let's take a look at your 11 first. So this is how we feel. They will be lining up, right? Mm-hmm. This is how we feel they're going to come out. So for goalkeeper, you have...
I have Matt Turner.
Okay, so Matt Turner. From left to right, Anthony Robinson, Mark McKenzie, Chris Richards, Serginho Dest.
Mm-hmm.
Can't argue with that.
Okay, I'm glad. No arguments here.
Okay, but the arguments begin immediately after that. You've got Tyler Adams and Johnny Cardozo working together as your defensive mids.
Yeah, so what? Pochettino obviously plays 4-2-3-1 in his lineups.
So Tyler Adams roams forward, Cardozo sits back?
I would reverse it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. So, and look.
This is not what I would do.
That's fine. Well, this is why we have our own individual opinions. And then in the midfield, at left wing, Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna at the 10, and Tim Weah on the right, and Balogun up front. So this is, I think, really the controversy for a lot of people might be the Gio Reyna. Gio Reyna, whatever club he ends up at and has a good enough season to be called back in.
I don't care if this guy's playing in the Canadian Premier League. He needs to just play and get minutes.
I mean, maybe, look, we know all the drama and everything. Giorena is that good.
Yeah.
I understand. I don't know what happened in the locker room. I don't know discussions between the other players.
Do you remember your
toxic
ex in college? But that head game was crazy. Remember that?
That's what, all familiar.
Remember how much you put up with because you're like, I don't know though, you know?
I can't get rid of it.
She's on my mind.
It's causing lots of problems in my life. But
bro, she tried to burn down my house, but still it might be worth it.
And that's kind of how we see Gio.
yeah.
Where it's just...
Which he will not appreciate that reverence.
But it's just, he's that good. And we've seen him play in person. We've been to Germany to see him play. We went to Mexico.
He is an exceptional talent when the ball is at his feet. I don't know what happens before the 90 or after the 90. We ain't there for that. All I can say is he was lovely when he spoke to us.
You can
see a personality brewing that it's like, ooh, you feel like a wide receiver or a striker. Like, I'm him, bro.
Yeah.
And I can see that. And I can see why that works so well on the pitch. If I would love for him to be the starter. I don't know if he will be, though, but I would love.
I would love that, too. And
I would love for him to get to the place where he can confidently be the starter.
Yeah, I don't know how he affects the team, the team morale, the you know, and all the other stuff. But it's just like we met him and we interviewed him and he's a good kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a nice, he has a little bit of swag to him. And maybe, you know, it necessarily hasn't been the best. Or the best behavior at certain times with the national team. We know he was obviously upset to not get starts at the World Cup that led to all the other like drama. But man, he's that good. And then, but more than anything, it's the chemistry that he has with those other players.
And that by the way,
it hasn't been recreated with anybody else.
If he's balling, then I have a lot of confidence in Balogun up front and Pulisic next to him, because we saw that in spurts when under BJ Callahan. Man, it was beautiful. The way they all started connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I need Gio Reyna to be a part of that.
Okay.
All right, let's take a look at mine. And I don't think it's like a crazy difference, right? I've got Matt Turner, right, as my goalkeeper. I've got basically the same backline. Not basically, exactly the same backline. Anthony McKenzie, Richards, Dest, right? I'm going with a 4-3-3 just because that's typically what we do with our 11s, right? But I could easily put this in a 4-2-3-1. I've got Weston, Tyler, Malik Tillman being your attacking your 10 in this situation. Tyler and Weston. Tyler sitting back, Weston doing whatever the hell
exactly,
he wants.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, Weston, bro, your position is wherever there's space. Mm-hmm. Wherever you think you need to be, my guy, you are up top. And I'm going to ask you the same thing that I'm going to present here, because I there's a bit of a conundrum with both of our 11s. I think there's a little problem. Up front, I've got Pepe being your sole nine, and I've got Pulisic and Weah. Pulisic on the left, Weah on the right. We need to fix something here, because even with your 11, there's a big problem, and it's down that right-hand side. Tim Weah has been playing right wing back, right back. He's been playing right attacker, at points striker. Mostly, he's really good at getting up and down on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
So is Sergiño Dest. There's clearly going to be a little bit of like a bottlenecking on that right-hand side, because Sergiño Dest's magic is him getting forward. Tim Weah's magic is him getting forward. There's not enough room for both of them
on that side. But you would imagine, given that they both, and Weah understands Dest's position pretty well because he plays it.
Uh-huh.
You would think that he would be like, all right, is Dest going forward? Let me drop back. And he could still either send it across or do an overlapping run or whatever.
Wouldn't you agree, though, that both players, we benefit from having both players driving into the box at defenders? Less for Dest, for sure, but that's what Tim Weah's magic is. And Dest is really good playing on that flank. Can they play together? Is that too much of the ball being on that side? Especially if Pulisic's on the other side. Like, if Pulisic's on the left and he's dominating the ball, what's happening? You got two players sitting there, no one defending?
Yeah.
That's going to be a big gap.
Do you
have Dest sit back further, where his magic isn't really that much further out, like 25, 30 yards away from goal? It's not really where he's best at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not particularly worried, because they played together, you know, several times.
Sure.
And it has looked pretty good. And I think the threat of having Dest, even if he's sitting kind of at the in the half space, kind of like top of the box,
yeah, the Odegaard area,
the threat of, he's probably not going to shoot from there, but the threat of him getting the ball up and the link up it pinches the defenders back, it pushes them back in a way where they have to worry about it a little bit more than if it was probably, you know, Scally on that spot or where
Scally's not running forward.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's a much better 1v1 defender.
Agreed.
Than Dest.
Yeah. So it's a
Dest adds another layer of complexity for the other team to try to figure out.
Sure.
I think we need him. There's dynamism there. I'm wondering if maybe we see Weah be the striker. And maybe somebody else on the right hand side who won't get clogged up with Dest.
Maybe
he pulls in as a second striker next to Pepe. Pepe likes to roam a little bit.
Sure. I mean, where's Balogun in all this? You think he's just not? He's not.
I think Pepe's more goal dangerous.
Well, where's Pepe? Is Pepe staying at PSV?
Well, he hasn't made a move yet.
Yeah. because I know he has interest from, was it like Nottingham? A couple, there were a couple like even Premier League clubs that were interested. So this is all obviously...
The best case scenario is De Jong moves and he becomes the main striker.
Yeah, this is all dependent on like, obviously, what year these players have. I mean, and it's going to be super important because when it comes to international matches, they're not going to play in Gold Cup, a lot of them. They have to have good seasons. They have to stay healthy. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on these guys.
We need to light a Pochettino candle, bro.
Yeah, regret, and I even regret that word, but like even with my lineup, maybe Cardoso over McKennie is probably not the right decision. But there's a I'm trying to guess what the next season is going to look like and what would sort of work best. And that's my predict. Either of them, I think, would be fine.
McKennie's the guy.
McKennie probably has a better chance, obviously. Yeah. But there's. I'm just like trying to think of like what is this next year going to look like? Especially with Cardoso at Atletico Madrid. You would think his level is going to go up to a whole new place. Okay. Let's talk about as far as positions that are solidified, because there's some that are solidified and some that are still in question. Where do you see positions that that's it? We know.
For me, the striker is still in question.
Okay, so that's up for grabs. All right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the striker is still something, and we've had a little bit of this conversation, but if you're looking at the available, and we know there's more names, but all right, we got Balogun, Pepe, Sargent, and Haji Wright, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those seem to be the best in question. We have to try to figure out who in the next year puts themselves in a position to be the starter. I've only seen Ricardo Pepi get stronger. I've only seen Ricardo Pepi get more minutes. Yeah. I've only seen Ricardo Pepi prove to more and more people that he should be the starter over arguably the captain and the lead, not arguably, over the captain and the leading goal scorer of PSV. So if people are calling for that, it feels like in the next year, we're going to see him grow. There are more questions for Falerian Balogun. Can he remain healthy? Can he be the guy we saw at stints at Monaco? Can he all of a sudden get back to the goal scoring form that we saw before? He undoubtedly is the best with the ball at his feet out of all of those names. But if you're not playing at the highest level, if you're not playing it fully in form, you don't deserve to be the starter. And I have a feeling Ricardo Pepi is just going to continue to get better and better and better.
Sure. Well, I mean, they're both coming back from injury, so we don't know exactly what they are going to look like. Pepi getting injured when he did.
What the worst time?
Deflated. Yeah. Just he was on a goddamn rocket ship, bro. Yeah. And the heat on him was fantastic. And then, yeah, just got this, you know, he would have continued. PSV would have, you know, they got humiliated in Champions League. And, you know, maybe that doesn't happen with Pepe there. Who knows? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so obviously position that solidified. Pulisic at the left wing. That's it. I mean, there's no real question there. I think one of the center back positions in Chris Richards, I think that is a lock as well. Left back, Anthony Robinson. Right back, Serginho Dest. I guess maybe if Serginho Dest doesn't come back to what he was, maybe this is up in question. But Serginho, that is Serginho Dest's spot to lose.
It's solid. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So we have one of the center back positions that I think a lot of people could fit in. I chose Mark McKenzie. You thought who did you say?
I think I also said Mark McKenzie for my 11.
Sure, sure.
But I also could see Austin Trusty getting that spot.
Yeah.
I could see Miles Robinson potentially getting that spot. I could see Austin Trusty getting that spot. Just again, versatility. You know what I mean? Someone that is good aerially, where I don't think Chris Richards necessarily shines. I think Chris Richards is your most solid center back. But Tim Ream, again, if come the World Cup, he's our starter. We failed as a nation.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty ridiculous.
38-year-old center back? Yeah,
and I'm not saying that because of age. I just think, like, he actually looks like he is. It's like he's slowing down. He's just not looking as sharp as
he's probably great with positioning, but he's also going to be the guy that gets targeted in every game because he's just not going to have the recovery speed.
It's weird. It's like, he left Fulham, and when he left Fulham, he was still in pretty good form.
Yeah.
And he goes to Charlotte and
would assume that that level is different. Like he would be.
Maybe it's like playing in the heat, maybe compared to like a different temperature and stuff. I don't know what it is.
Surrounded by great athletes.
Yeah, that helps as well. Let's do a quick game here as well to wrap this up. The striker. So we'll do like a bit of a Mad Libs game of trying to decide this striker needs to blank.
Right. If Filler and Balogun, as an example, mm-hmm. is going to be the starter, then he needs to blank.
Yeah. So you want to go first?
Sure. We're going with Balogun?
Yeah.
All right. If Filler and Balogun is to be the striker, he needs to score more than 20 goals next season.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
You gotta, that's what you,
yeah, I know a little bit.
You proved.
That will do it. Yeah.
You proved if, you could do it.
Balogun needs to win Ballon d'Or. Be the striker.
Ballon d'Or. It's right there. No, honestly, you need to score more than 20 goals. Prove that you are that guy that we thought you were.
Okay.
Prove you were that guy that deserves to be the number one. There is no number one for the nine position right now.
Okay.
There's no one written in pen. There's no one written in marker. You gotta go out and ball out. Yeah, you play well when you're blah, blah, blah. Nah, you gotta ball out. Show me you deserve that.
Okay. Next up, I'll do for Pepe. Are we each giving? No, we go one at a time. I don't think sure. We need to get each one. So for Ricardo Pepe to be the starting striker for the USMNT, he needs to be the leading goal scorer on his team, whatever team that is. So it will just be inarguable. He is too hot, having too much on too good a form, mm-hmm. Too sharp, that Balogun is just like, we appreciate for you making the switch and joining us, but this guy, he is he's basically unstoppable, and it's something where no one can doubt the decision
anymore. I got you.
So how about Josh Sargent, which is a name on the fence.
Yeah, on the fringe. Unless you're a Norwich fan and you're thinking this guy's automatic. If Josh Sargent is going to be the starter come the World Cup, then Josh Sargent needs to play on a team in the Premier League or another top flight that values him over just chasing long balls. The last time we saw him in the Premier League, it was rough. It was not fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on a team that played a really pragmatic style, and it was really, really difficult to watch, and then to see him try to do what he does best without them playing that way. It was uncomfortable. I want to see you on a team that doesn't play that way, that values you in a position that plays like an Arsenal does, or maybe like a Chelsea does, or maybe like a Brighton does, where it's a bit more attacking, there's a bit more flair, there's more being asked of you, because I need to see you do more than just score these wonder goals in the championship. Can you do it at a higher level? If you do that, then have all the confidence in the world that you deserve that spot from the beginning.
Okay. Next up, Haji Wright. For Haji Wright to be the starting striker for the U.S. men's national team, he needs to get his team to the Premier League. He's gotten close. He has been a big factor of Coventry getting into the championship playoff. But they 2 years in a row hasn't been able to close it out. So I think having that pressure and having that experience, I think, is helpful for the national team. He scored at a World Cup already. But he needs to be that leader on the team to get his team into the Premier League. So we'll see if he can do it next season. We went through all of them. All right, cool.
I thought
we didn't. All right. Okay, last thing. Before, we're going to talk Gold Cup in a little bit, and we'll talk about Christian Pulisic. He was recently on Call It What You Want, the CBS podcast, and we'll talk about those comments with his dad as well. But what's going on right now with around the World Cup, there's been a lot more concern, especially with we've seen all the protests that are happening in LA.
I wonder why there's concern. Everything seems to be going perfectly fine in this country.
It is a strange time, right? Because, you know, this. You know, during the 94 World Cup, this wasn't like the discourse that we were having.
But don't forget, that was 2 years removed from the riots in LA.
Sure, sure.
So there was also some questions around that time of is everything all right over there?
Yeah, but
it's a bit closer.
And now it's just with the magnitude of having an event where the world is, you are the host for the world to come to your country, and There is a responsibility of hospitality, of like, come, this is what the World Cup is about. It's about sharing the world's game, sharing cultures. Come to my country. We'll show you what things are like, and the food, and blah, blah, blah. And it helps the economy. And so there's a lot of really positive things. But with everything, with the protests and ICE taking people, splitting families, going into schools.
Everything's gonna be fine. They're gonna play. They're gonna be security.
And they're gonna be,
gonna be
and
fine.
Then so, and then they were like, "We gotta hire these guys."
Yeah.
No, it's clearly what I've. What it feels like is like there is clearly pressure from the government to be involved in this in some sort of whether it's like to. Wash their image a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
of course. I think that's hopefully like best case scenario. That's it, right?
Yeah. So
it's not to try to arrest fans that are coming here. But there is a fear from people that maybe they don't want to come to the games in the U.S. They want to go to the games in Mexico and Canada.
Right.
And that's not necessarily what you would want to from being a host country. You know, World Cup, for a lot of people who are listening to this, you're already fans of the sport. But if, God forbid, this clip goes to someone, someone's listening to this that isn't a fan of soccer. This is like the Olympics. This is... You want to show your country in the best light.
Yeah.
We're not really preparing for that right now. Not the way the world's looking at us right now. Not the way we're acting right now. Maybe there's some, maybe the you know, the bravado or the ego of the president wanting the World Cup to be like the biggest tournament and the best ever in U.S. history.
I don't think he cares.
He's referenced it.
Right.
Maybe in a way that stops this from being as horrific as I think a lot of us are afraid it can get.
Yeah.
So maybe in a way, but I don't have a lot of confidence that that's the case. I'm to be honest with you, a little worried. I'm getting messages from a lot of people that are involved in the sport outside of this country. They're like, "Yo, man, you think it's gonna be all right? I'm gonna be in LA next week." I had people asking me like, "Yo, should I even go to LA? Like,
yeah.
Yo, blah blah." And I'm like, "I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm not the governor. I'm not the mayor. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know how to tell you that you should be confident. All I can tell you is that we're not the people you're afraid of. Like the people who love this sport aren't the ones you should be worried about.
Exactly.
You know
what I mean? I mean, look, my
if you were going to a NASCAR, I probably wouldn't go.
Respectfully now.
Respectfully, yeah. I'm just saying, I probably wouldn't go if you were Mexicano, you know?
I'd say this. My big fear is that somebody goes to a World Cup game and gets detained. Like, because another thing for Club World Cup, they're like telling people, like, bring your documentation just to...
Oh, good.
And this...
Good, this is great.
This is no way...
Go to a sporting event.
Yeah.
Make sure you bring your papers. Yeah.
This is no way to enjoy the sport. And obviously, it's no way... It's not sustainable to live in a society like this where people are... Where one, you enable a force to be able to do this. That's not sustainable. But then to live through it and be around it and be worried about it is ridiculous.
Even if you agree with what's happening, right? Are you confident that you want to bring your wife and kids or your significant other and your children to an event knowing that it could be upheaval? You know what I mean?
Right.
Even if you agree with that, is that really what you want in a sporting event?
But also, if you agree with that, you are a bad person.
Oh, yeah. Let's get that out of the way. Also, I don't want you to go to the game.
That's a bad thing, and you should know that.
Have you heard of NASCAR?
NASCAR taking all these shots.
Taking lots of lumps.
Strays, bro.
I know they're trying to change their image.
So
I actually want to go to NASCAR, but I've never been. So.
Neither have I. All right. So, So look, it's on our minds, and we're I think a lot of people are trying to do everything possible so that isn't the case. But yeah, it's kind of a ridiculous situation about it. And we're trying to speak up about it, and I think a lot of people are as well. So, all right, we're gonna take a quick break, and we're going to talk about Christian Pulisic, and we'll talk about Gold Cup coming up this weekend. All right, we'll be right back. I have some important news. There has been a venue change for the Dominican Republic against Mexico watch party. It was originally scheduled to be at the Hudson, but we have outgrown demand. There are too many people that want to go, so we have gone to a bigger venue. It is going to be at Bronx Brewery now. So we're going from Washington Heights to the Bronx. Same old Dominicans out there as well. It's going to be dope. But Saturday, June 14th, 7 p.m., doors open, come through.
All right, welcome back to the show. We got to talk about this because Christian Pulisic and Landon Donovan, have risen to the top of the trending charts as if they put out an album.
They're on the billboard.
I hope for them, a lot of streams. But obviously, there's a little bit of back and forth going on. And now Christian Pulisic is answered via call it what you want on CBS with the homies. But here's Pulisic's quote. It said, "I did want to be a part of at least the two friendlies. They said no. They said they only wanted one roster. It's coach's decision. I didn't understand it, but it's their call and he respects it." Do you think this answers questions or creates more questions?
It creates one other question.
Exactly.
It doesn't sound like Pochettino was like, "Hey, all good. Go take a break. I'm sure you need it." It sounds like he's saying, "Oh, you're not willing. You want to just do this halfway,
right?
And you don't want to play in the friendlies and the Gold Cup. No, we need somebody that's going to be all in, playing all the games. I only want one roster. Right. I'm not changing it up after the friendlies." So that is where it begs the question: like, is Pochettino not happy with Christian Pulisic? We don't necessarily need that answer doesn't really matter because Christian Pulisic is the U.S. men's national team. Yeah. He's going to get called up every single time. There's no way he is not.
Right.
But it just gives the notion that, like, hey, maybe he's not happy about this and just kind of saying, like, hey, this is like a boundary for me. Like,
right.
You don't want to play? Then no, you're not going to just do the two friendlies. And it's a little bit of like, if you're Christian Pulisic, don't even say the two friendlies because it doesn't align with the story of like, that you're fatigued and that you've been playing a lot of games, which I completely understand. If he would have said, I don't think my body is just ready and capable to even play in these two friendlies and let alone the Gold Cup. I really wish I could be there, but I think it's better for me for the future that I take a break and rest from these matches. But by saying, oh,
exactly,
I'll play in the two friendlies, it's like, all right, well,
let's rank the best case answer, which was one, what you just said. I'm actually too tired completely.
Yeah.
My body is broken down a little bit. I need to rest. This season was a lot more intense. And if I'm going to have a good season next season and be ready for the World Cup, I should probably take this time off. Difficult to take, but easy to understand.
Yeah.
Second best case scenario is he says, I'll play in the Gold Cup, but I can't do the two friendlies. They're friendlies. So let me sit out the friendlies and I'll play in the Gold Cup. And Pochettino said, no, I want one roster.
Right.
The worst possible is I said, you know what? Let me do the two easy games and then y'all can handle the competition on your own.
Yeah.
And Pochettino said, no. So what now we have to do is read into this.
Yeah.
And what it seems to me like is Pochettino was like, oh, you only want to do two friendlies? Nah, man. I only want to have one roster. And you was like, oh, okay. All right, peace. And you're like, well, that wasn't the answer I was looking for.
Thanks for understanding, yeah. Mo.
Right. Yo, babe, Parks gets it, bro. And he called Weston like, yo, don't even go, dude. He don't want us there.
You're good. Don't even text him back.
No, yo, don't say nothing.
He's chilling.
Yo, Landon said he got my back. He don't say some stuff. Basically, what you've done is you kind of told the world that you didn't want to be a part of the competition. And if that's because you're fatigued and you're this and you're that, I can't blame you. Dude, I do not know what it's like to be a high-level athlete. I have zero clue. All I can tell you is we don't have a lot of runway, man. You know what I mean? Like, we have one major competition before this World Cup, and you've chosen to sit out that competition. So there will be questions asked of you, and this does not... And you know what? In a way... And I hate to say this because I think he's a good dude down inside. The blame lies solely on your feet now, Christian. Not you, Christian Pulisic.
What did I do?
Yeah, did you tell him not to go? Because this is what happens when you are, I can only assume that he's not the most comfortable on camera and on mic. So what I take from the way he speaks when he's being asked questions differently than when he used to do the streams with McKennie and those guys, you know, the gaming stuff. When I see someone who either has an answer pre-thought in their brain or pre-scripted, or two, is going through the machinations of like, how do I answer this correctly?
Yeah.
And that media speak, because you're afraid to be yourself on camera. Whether that's maybe you're just afraid of public speaking and you're not that vocal of a dude. From the documentaries, it seems like that's exactly what it is. I'm only guessing. But when you only do the coach speak or the media speak, when you do the media training talk, it ends up like this, where now you leave more questions open versus answers that you've given. You need to find a way. And I've said this before. give us 3 weeks with this man. And I will show you how to speak confidently on camera.
Cooligan's boot camp.
Bro, I'm dead. Honestly, who's better than us to do this?
Sure.
You cannot go your whole career being the guy that answers every question with like, yeah, as soon as you do that, I know you're answering the way you were trained to answer.
Sure.
As soon as you hit the yeah, because you're buying yourself more time. You need to find a way to be confident on camera. You're the captain of this team. The World Cup's about to be in this country. You cannot keep going forward going, well, the coach said this and I said this. No, you need to say, yeah. I was fatigued. I cannot handle it.
Yeah.
I spoke to the coach. He would have loved for me to be a part of the roster. I told him exactly what position I was in, blah, 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 with my physical health. And he said, you know what? Don't do it. Done.
Yeah.
There's no
yeah.
questions
this
now.
This could have been a nothing issue. And then again, it leads to Landon Donovan making comments.
Tim Howard. And they're talking about your heart. They're not talking about your physical health.
Exactly. Or like your commitment to the team. Yeah. Which, you know, in the interview, he did say that was the frustrating thing, that he didn't like his commitment to the national team question. And then Tim Howard is responding and being like, yo, he DM'd me. He was upset. I told him to call me. He didn't call me. His dad could have called me. And it's just like, bro, it's getting.
Look at where we are now. Also, you can't change the situation. You not being a part of the Gold Cup squad is going to have people like Tim Howard and Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey challenging your commitment to this team.
Sure.
And your heart in these moments of playing for the United States national team. That is there's no question. That's what caused it. You change that by answering that question or coming out before that happens to let everyone know what the situation is. And when you're doing the, well, blah, 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 the robotic answers, now there's more for us to divvy up and figure out.
Like pick apart. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's not, yeah. And maybe this is just a
3 weeks. You ain't in the Gold Cup. Come here.
This is that like in a maturing thing and growing up thing and to confront these things, I think, ahead of the controversy, and this is why it's a talking point now. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Let's preview the Gold Cup and the Gold Cup challengers, maybe some players to watch and some teams' X factors outside of, obviously, USMNT. We'll start with US first. But for me, as far as like players that could make a difference.
This is the X factor.
X factor that where they could be the difference between winning and losing the Gold Cup on the US. I think Diego Luna. Diego Luna, this is a big, big opportunity to step up. Make a difference. I think he's playing with a lot of confidence. He's playing great for RSL. A couple good performances in this Gold Cup, I think could change the trajectory of his career.
I could see that. For me, I'm going to go Tillman.
Okay.
I think Tillman has put himself in the position where if Gio Reyna doesn't get a starting job and is balling out the way we know he can, Tillman is going to be that 10.
Okay. For Mexico.
I'm going to say Raul Jimenez, bro. He seems like he's back. He seems like the head injury that was caused against David Luiz, kind of he's gotten past it. And this could be maybe his swan song. He's getting up there in age.
Yeah, yeah.
This World Cup could be his last. With Mexico also hosting games, this could be really, really big. So I think Gold Cup, he could be the X factor.
Yes, he was very important, obviously, in Nations League. And we'll see if he could do it again this summer. For me, Cesar Huerta, Anderlecht player, but a player in the last, 2 years who has been
100%.
Also one who has been an important player for Mexico, but also a stepped up in that, like, I want to make sure I beat US. I want to make sure I beat Canada. And like,
he's become a heart and soul player as well.
Exactly. We saw that, the Dos Santos brothers, uh-huh. like there were moments of just like, you could tell there's a pride in it. And Cesar Huerta has been that guy to me. All right.
Canada, why don't you go first?
For Canada, this might be a shock to some people, but Jaden Nelson, Vancouver Whitecaps winger, has been fantastic.
Speed demon.
Kind of like out of nowhere kind of thing this season. And scored not just big goals, some significant goals in CONCACAF Champions Cup, but playing with a confidence. And I think, this is a reflection of the entire team, But he's been great. And I think if he can, again, have a good international tournament, I think that he could be a big impact and big reason why
I can see
Canada
that. Canada plays as a team. And that's why I'm going to say Jesse Marsh.
Oh.
Nobody wants to watch U.S. lose more than Jesse Marsh right now. And for Canada to win this thing would be absolutely massive. And it would be a huge FU to the everyone.
Has they ever won Gold Cup?
I think they did win the Gold Cup once.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's a Carter will double check. All right.
Well, he looks. Let's go to Panama. I'm going to say Murillo.
Yeah.
Murillo is a great player. He plays at Marseille. I think, yes, he plays left back or center back defensive, but he gets up there. I think he's a stabling
former Red Bull.
Yep. Guy. Former Red Bull. I think he plays a stabling force. And very clearly, if Coco Gareski is not on the pitch, you say, yo, Murillo might be the best player on this team.
Interesting. All right. For me, Panama, obviously, the tú eres mi ídolo. Yeah. Cecilio Waterman had the iconic moment in Nations League with Thierry Henry. A very impactful and effective player for Panama.
And if he gets going, he's dangerous.
Yeah, I think he's going to make a big difference. All right.
Saudi Arabia, we both picked the same one, which is Irv Renard.
Yeah.
Because that's the only guy we know on
the
squad.
We don't know. We haven't, we don't watch the Saudi Arabia players as much as we probably should, but
I would like to remind the Saudi Arabian national team or the league, I'm willing to put a hyphen after AL in my name and be I'll go to Saudi Arabia. I'll be Al Exis.
Al Exis.
You think I won't, dog? I will be Al Exis, bro. Happily. Right now, we don't know your squad that much.
Right. But the interesting thing here is that Saudi Arabia is obviously invited to the Gold Cup before
Qatar
had been invited to the previous two. But Saudi Arabia is fifth on, as far as bettors.
Favorites.
As far as favorites. And they're betting that they are the fifth most likely to win, which would be fourth.
Jeez, fourth.
Carter, you're fired.
Yeah. Wow. Carter, your first betting to be fired. That's crazy how that works.
Which is kind of wild for an invited team. Yes, look, Saudi Arabia, they have the historic win in the World Cup against Argentina.
Sure. And what else? It's crazy.
So pretty remarkable that they are there. So as far as
who do you think is going to win?
Win the whole thing. I've said in the past, I don't think the U.S. is going to get even to the final. I think Mexico wins it. They had a strong Nations League, and I think they are good enough to win this tournament.
Mexico is getting better.
If they can get past Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia is going to be tough. I think USA, baby. And the reason I say that is because you have to walk in with the confidence that this USA team, regardless of being the B or C squad, mm-hmm. has the depth and the players and the tactics with the Mauricio Pochettino to win this thing. If we walk into it not thinking we're winning it or should be at least in the final, then we've already failed.
All right. Well, I guess I failed you, Alexis.
Yeah. Well, Al Exis. You think I won't? 2 years, no taxes, right, guys?
Imagine.
You think I can't call into this show?
We'll do the show for a little while.
Yeah, you know what? How about this? If I get the deal, I'm flying you guys out.
They're going to be like, Cooligan's at their peak. Why would they go to Saudi right now?
Yeah, bro. Great time to make money.
All right. Well,
also, we love the league.
we're going to talk Club World Cup right after this. So come right back. Club World Cup kicks off this weekend. So let's talk about the groups. We'll talk about all the teams. And let's start first with who do we think makes it out of each group? Group A, Al Ahly, Porto, Inter Miami, and Palmeiras.
I'm a little worried about for Inter Miami.
I'm a little worried. I don't think they get out of the group.
I don't think they get out of the group. I think this is going to be Porto, Palmeiras.
Okay. I'm going to say Porto and Al Ahly.
That's crazy.
I think they get out. Okay. Group
B. I like it. Group B. For me, this is very clearly going to be PSG and I think Botafogo.
Interesting. You think Atletico's?
I think Atletico Madrid is not going to make it out of this group.
No respect for the Sounders.
Come on.
In this group.
I don't even know what button I press.
Atletico, Botafogo, PSG, Sounders. I think PSG, Atletico get out of this group.
Okay. So we'll for Group C, for me, I would love to see Boca Juniors make it out, but it's very clearly Bayern Munich, Benfica.
It would be
Auckland's amateurs, by the way. No disrespect. They're a mostly amateur team. So shouts to you that you got this.
They just happen to be there. Yeah. Have a good time.
Bro, take a lot of photos.
episode. But yeah, anybody besides Bayern and Benfica would be a, a controversy.
Group D?
Group D, Chelsea. How do you pronounce his name? Esperance?
Sure. Why even bring it up? They're not making that good. I think it's going to be
what country do they play? I don't even know.
Who cares? No disrespect. Chelsea and Flamengo.
Watch what they, the Esperanza supporters clip this out.
Remember, my name is Christian if you're listening to this.
Flamengo and LAFC. So
I say Chelsea, Flamengo.
This is the one here where I think LAFC, I think Chelsea and LAFC get out of this group. I think this could be a little bit of the surprise.
I can see that. Group E is not easy to decide, right? Because I think everybody's like, all right, Inter Milan. But then the rest there could be some surprises. I think maybe Monterrey shock everyone and get out of this group along with Inter Milan.
I could see that too. Riva, and it's really, there's a little bit of bias because I watch, you know, some of the Argentinian league matches and it's a little chaotic for me.
A little. it's a volleyball game at some point.
So when I think of that style of play, I'm like, how could it work in the tournament like this? So that's why I agree with you with those two. Urawa, Red Diamonds are also in there.
Good luck, buddy.
Good luck.
Group F, what do you got?
Dortmund, Fluminense, Mamelodi Sundowns, and Ulsan HD. So this, it feels like just name recognition, Dortmund and Fluminense should be getting
that's
out.
That's what I'm going with as well. Group G. It's very clearly going to be Manchester City and Juventus. I don't even know why we're talking about this. We could skip. Are you picking anyone else?
I'm not picking anybody else.
So let's go to Group H.
Group H, Al Hilal, Pachuca, Real Madrid, RB Salzburg.
I'm going to say Al Hilal, Real Madrid.
Interesting. Okay. Salzburg not making it through, I think, would be a pretty big disappointment for them, given their, you know, pretty solid Champions League club and stuff like that. But I would agree with you there.
All is like low-key stacked. They got Mitrovic, Milinkovic, Savage.
Okay.
Koulibaly. They're low-key stacked. But what about dark horses? Let's define a dark horse. Someone we don't expect to immediately be thought of as a winner,
yeah,
but could sneak through and really make a stink in the group stages.
For me, it's Benfica.
I could see that.
They have deep runs in Champions League. They're a solid team. Always difficult for even in the later stages of Champions League. So it wouldn't be too much of a shock if they win the whole thing. So they're my dark horse.
For me, I'm going to say FC Porto. FC Porto consistently in Champions League punches above their own weight.
Sure.
They're one of the teams coming out of the Liga de Portugal that I think can play in other leagues pretty easily. Maybe not always win, but they could stand their own with most other of the big five outside of Liga de Portugal. So just like Benfica, pretty standard. Those guys win. They always battle out to win Liga de Portugal, but I think Liga de Portugal has come up a few steps, so I'm going to go with them.
Okay. Current favorites to win the whole thing.
PSG.
PSG. That feels like the safe.
They won Champions League. How are they going to win this?
The recency bias is real.
The only thing is maybe they don't even want the 100 million. Like, we got so much money, bro. We don't need it.
All right. How about this? Match that you're most excited to see.
Ooh, what about you?
For me, I was getting some stick for this.
Wait till you guys hear this.
But the game I'm genuinely excited to see.
Out of all the games in the group stage.
Out of all the games available in the group stage. The Seattle Sounders against PSG.
What?
This is... We've had Stephen Fry on the show.
Do you hate the Seattle Sounders? What, you want to watch this snuff film?
I'm not necessarily expecting it to be completely brutal. Stephen Fry has been on our show, I think, 3 or 4 times. There's that personal investment because I want to see him be able to compete. I want to see him do well. And also shout out to the Seattle Sounders for protesting and talking about the division of pay for the Club World Cup.
This game ain't gonna help you win that argument, is what I'm gonna say.
So I really want to see how that game goes. Yes, I don't expect the Sounders to win, but I want to see what level are the Sounders at versus the Champions League winner of UEFA.
I love MLS, but I think we know that answer. PSG are incredible, but hey, shouts to you. I'm going to go with Real Madrid versus Al Hilal. For the same reason I just mentioned before, Al Hilal are actually low-key stacked.
Yeah.
And if Real Madrid walks into that thinking, it's one of the Saudi teams, I don't need to worry about it, they could get worked a little bit. A lot of these guys have played against Real Madrid-level teams before. Can they put it together? I don't know, but I'm going to be interested to see if maybe Real Madrid kind of ghost walks into this and they get sort of chin checked a little bit.
Okay.
Now, obviously, the last question is who wins it all?
Yeah, we have our favorites of who, in general, people expect
to win.
We know
the favorites, the Champions League.
Exactly.
Winner. But who do you actually think wins it?
I think, maybe it's controversial, but I think Real Madrid could win this.
I thought you were going to say Seattle Sounders. I actually thought...
Okay, then I can't pass anything, Seven Fry. He's our friend.
Yeah, he's been on the show multiple times.
But I think Real Madrid, they don't have to face Barcelona, which is that is their kryptonite. And you know, Arsenal, they don't have to face Arsenal either and worry about Declan Rice and his free kicks. I think they could do it. They are a team that, you know, consistently for a long, outside of this year only, they win tournaments. And yeah. and Xavi Alonso, his introduction, yes, it's a little bit, you know, it's essentially a preseason.
What better than this for a preseason, though? A competitive tournament, though.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Real Madrid is still Real Madrid. And, yeah. and to ignore their capability of winning any tournament, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. So I'm going to say Real Madrid.
I'm interested to see what Xabi Alonso does with Mbappe. But for me, it's the team Mbappe left, PSG. They're very clearly in the best form possible. Luis Enrique has proven to the world.
Could they face each other? We don't know what the grouping is out or how, but imagine not even a final, just at all, like even in a quarter
a
semi.
That would be exciting.
That's how the Club World Cup becomes something significant.
If they're not going to listen to me and force Cristiano Ronaldo to play in Miami.
He like answered the question. Somebody, a reporter asked him if he would go play Miami. He said that it's not likely.
Not likely just means you got to toss a little bit more, a little bit more money on there.
All right. So that is a Club World Cup. Gold Cup starts this Saturday. There's a lot going on. Just a reminder on YouTube, you can go check out our interview with Jonathan Fania. He's a Dominican soccer legend, but we spoke to him in the lead up of the opening of the Gold Cup, which is on Saturday. All right, let's wrap it up there. We'll be back on Monday. We'll have a lot to react to. The USMNT will have played on Sunday. So we'll talk about all of that on Monday. So make sure you lock in with the Cooligans. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe.
Hit that like button.
Follow us everywhere. Follow us on Blue Sky at soccercooligans.com on Blue Sky. Get over there ASAP. All right, we'll see you Monday, everybody. Have a good weekend. Vamos, República Dominicana. Peace.
Love you guys.